You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Check out the all-new BrownsCast podcast. The Browns have given Max Linsky, the host of the show, complete access to the organization. He interviews players, coaches, and some less familiar figures who play an integral role in managing the day-to-day business of the organization. It's a whole new way to learn about the Browns. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app, or download BrownsCast from the iTunes store. Nathan Zgura and Matt Wilhelm back with you. We're going to go to the phones now, 216-578-0850. We've got Mike in Parma. Mark in Parma, I'm sorry. What's up, Mark?
How's it going, guys? Good afternoon.
How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Hey, two quick points I wanted to make, and I love the previous caller talking about identity. And if I recall what the GM's job is, it's supposed to procure the talent in terms of aptitude and ability. So I really fault Ray Farmer for all of this. And if I recall correctly, the only reason he got the GM job was because the front office was in turmoil and Haslam panicked because everyone thought that Farmer was going to be the next Ozzie Newsome and was going to get on a plane and go to Miami and take the GM job. And that never materialized. And all that materialized was Texgate, a $250,000 fine, four-game suspension, and 2014-15 picks have been a complete bust. In addition to the very poor free agent signing, I mean, it makes the Dwayne Bowe pick look like the Andre Rison deal was a much better deal 20 years ago.
The Andre Bademoon Rison deal. Yeah, it's been a struggle, certainly, in that side of things for the Cleveland Browns. Go to Charles in Canton. Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. The Browns are pretty much everything except for mathematically out of the playoffs right now. I think they have no idea. I mean, they want to do this, they want to do that. I don't even think they know who they have on their team. I think the only way they save their job is to go to Jimmy and say, hey, you know, right now, you know, winning's not the important thing. It's time to, you know, figure out who we have for next year. Throw the young guys in and let them, you know, and let them grow. These guys, and if they're not the right guys, then, you know, you're out of the NFL. Nobody else is going to pick you up. If you can't be decent on the sorry Browns team, you shouldn't be in the NFL. So I think they need to go and just throw the young guys out there. I don't want Johnny to start. I don't think Johnny's the future. But, you know, it's time for Johnny to prove that he is or isn't. I mean, we can talk all day he is or not, whatever. But it's time for him to prove that he is or isn't. Time to for the running backs to prove. It's time for these people to actually earn their job in the NFL or go get a real job out in the real world.
I think at this point, we're all in agreement that you've got to see these young guys. Listen, Isaiah Crowell ran the ball well. Give him an opportunity to continue running it. Can we see what a running back on this team would do with 20 carries? I'd be curious. Maybe it'll yield 50
yards. Has that happened this year?
Not this year, no. We don't have a running back rush for 75 yards in a game yet this
year. I know
year.
That, but have they been given 20? And how many times last year did a running back have 20 carries in a football game?
I'm pretty sure a couple of times.
Okay.
You got Terrence West got there, by the way, who was cut.
Which means?
Over the weekend. It means the Browns will not even get a compensatory pick for him. Isaiah Crowell this year. Oh, look, here, you want to know? Isaiah Crowell this year, most carries in a game so far has been 15. Oh, my God. Season high 72 yards. Oh, my God. His only rushing touchdown against Tennessee. Since then, he has not had more than 13 carries in a game. Last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Last year, Crow never had a 20-carry game. I think Terrence West, though,
Baltimore?
Had a couple. Baltimore, I think at the end, he had 20 for 99 is what I thought. Something like that.
Okay.
But, yeah, that in and of itself is a little bit wild when you think about this team. Terrence West last year, here's the game logs. Pull it up for you. He had 26 against Cincinnati when they won. That was it, 94 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, we had 50? We had 56 rushes in that game?
Yeah, that was our best and most dominant
game.
So it was
him at 50%, and then Crow, and who else?
Crow, and his second highest carry game, by the way, 19 against New Orleans. And I know winning leads to running, but the three games that we've just singled out over the last 2 years where our guys have gotten, you know, a good number of carries have all been Browns wins. New Orleans, Cincinnati, and then Tennessee this year. I know that it's not causation. It's part of because of the flow of the game.
Of course.
But at the same time, you know, a commitment to that is something that would be important.
But you're absolutely right. But to that point, and you want to talk about philosophy, now we're going to talk about the philosophies of a good offense and philosophies of a good defense in the National Football League. And I always talk about that 50-50. Can you create doubt in a defense to the point where, and we see it if you're a football fan, just holding that linebacker, you know, with that play fake. But if there's no running attack and there's no threat of run, that play fake, even as you call it in the huddle, doesn't hold that linebacker, doesn't stutter the feet of that safety. So that window you're throwing into, and as we know, and this is kind of like making my point, when you don't have top-tier talent that is going to, you know, catch the football when it's in his vicinity, like you have an Antonio Brown or a Calvin Johnson or a Larry Fitzgerald, or you don't have an elite quarterback to deliver the football to those tighter windows, putting that doubt into that defender's mind is what opens up those windows that allows an inaccurate or not-so-accurate Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, Josh McCown to throw into those windows to small receivers with a small catch radius in Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, and you know, and Brian Hartline, and so on and so forth. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So by taking away your ability to run the football, it affects the passing game. It puts more pressure on a Josh McCown. It puts more pressure on a Johnny Manziel. And then to go into his weapons that he's throwing. So don't run the football and have great weapons. Okay, we'll rush the ball three times in the second half, but you got great playmakers. But when you don't have any, and you have an ordinary quarterback up to this point, a running game is everything that you need.
It's a best friend.
It's a
best defense.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Charles in Canton now. Charles, welcome to the show. Let's go. I'm sorry. Chris in a car. What's up, Chris?
Hey, not too much, guys. How are you?
Good,
brother.
Hey, you guys have to put some kind of disclaimer on before you read those second-round picks, because I almost jerked the wheel of my truck over and slammed it into a bridge of Butler.
I told you.
Yeah.
Sorry. We mean no harm.
Okay, I understand. Just a little disclaimer. You know, we
here they're coming.
That's come, right.
We're about to bring it.
Prepare to be unhappy.
We keep talking about all these different issues, and all of the callers have valid points. I just, you know, I go back to Jimmy Haslam, and I think all of you out there listening have gone into a business that's well-run, and that is always successful, and that continues to crank out great products. I think when you look at what's happening with the Browns, there's always a driving force behind any successful business, whether it's a GM or the owner. And in this case, I think it's the owner. I don't see the elements there that need to be put in place for this team to be successful over the long haul. I know you've talked about Jimmy Haslam being a young owner. He's still cutting his teeth in the NFL, but you know, Art Modell was a young owner at one time, too. Fired Paul Brown. I know he did a lot of good things in Cleveland.
And Belichick.
Yeah, and Belichick. I just, why are we not hearing more about Jimmy? I think he's the one who deserves most of this blame. You know, he's very quick to hire. He's also quick to fire, but.
Right,
and pay.
And I mean,
when he does that, that's not a cheap decision.
No, it's not. And I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. And as I was listening to you, the one thing that we also have to understand is you don't sell and buy NFL franchises like popcorn. You know what I mean? You make the commitment to spend a lot of money to get into that field of business to latch onto that product for a very long time. And you see it through the highs and lows. And I think it's very easy, but you can hire and fire very easily, but you can't buy and sell a franchise. And I think for Jimmy, it was, as far as I understand it, was waiting in the wings to buy an NFL franchise and found the Cleveland Browns franchise available and very attractive to him. You know, and even the rumors of the Tennessee Titans, you know, when they were potentially on the market. And I think for a guy like Jimmy Haslam, as a caller mentioned, he's in business, and he could tell you the inside and outs of what he wants someone that walks into his Pilot Flying J and the service that he wants to provide to that customer. And in some cases, I believe that's what everyone associated with the Cleveland Browns has to step back and do. Because if you're satisfied, you know, with the product, you can be satisfied with certain facets of the product. you know, the game day experience, you know, the amount of money and resources that go into what we do, which not all NFL teams do, is superior above others. But that product on the football field, you have to step back and evaluate that and be very, very humble, because what you have put out there thus far has not been good enough. And it's not going to be good enough until you draw that line in the sand on your philosophy, on your identity, and don't sleep until you get it figured out.
That's got to be the mentality for this team. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, more of you are out there. We'll continue to talk to you, 216-578-0850, about this Cleveland Browns organization, where you're at with it, who should quarterback, the overall philosophy and direction that you want to see going forward.